This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
New York Times has sued OpenAI and Microsoft for copyright infringement. Now, you've probably seen this and heard this in the news cycle, and they are suing for literally billions of dollars in damages, and they also want OpenAI and Microsoft to delete ChatGPT and GPT, like all their training data sets. So that's pretty severe, and it is somewhat hyperbolic. I personally don't think that it's going to stand up to scrutiny. And the reason is, when you look at recent history with all the lawsuits against generative AI, they usually come out swinging, but then the judge either tosses most of the lawsuit or it just kind of doesn't go anywhere. So most recently, the class action lawsuit against copyright infringement for works of fiction and comedy, most of the lawsuit was just completely tossed out by the judge. So we saw this back in November. And then earlier this year, you might have remembered when Stable Diffusion and Midjourney and all those, they were hit with a massive lawsuit that claimed they were, quote, collage tools. And so this underscores one of the key problems that they're going to have is the fact that there is no precedent around generative AI. This technology just did not exist when copyright law was established. And it's also very difficult to establish exactly what they're doing, as well as an injury. And here's another thing that some of my lawyer friends taught me. Just as a thought experiment, imagine that the substance of the lawsuit was true. Even if OpenAI and, you know, Midjourney and Stable Diffusion and Google and Microsoft, even if they used articles from New York Times, which whether or not that is true has yet to be established, but if they did, is it still, you know, up to the threshold of causing harm? Because it has been long established through multiple lawsuits, that using copyrighted material for training AI is a permissible use. It is a transformative use. It's not necessarily duplicating things. Now, one of the things that New York Times says is that ChatGPT and Bing Chat reproduce long articles verbatim. Now, it's entirely possible that that has nothing to do with the model, because if you recall, when ChatGPT first added the, you know, search the internet with Bing, they actually took it down after like just a few hours, I think, or less than a day, because it was circumventing paywalls, and so they were afraid that they were going to get sued. So it's entirely possible that that has nothing to do with the model itself and has more to do with the rest of the way that the system works. They might be pulling cached articles. You know, for instance, you can still, as far as I know, on many websites, Google has the cached version of things. So you can get around paywalls just by looking at cached versions of articles and other stuff that's behind a paywall. So it's entirely possible that this lawsuit is entirely baseless. But even if you accept it on the face of it, it's also possible that the damages aren't there, or that the precedent says, like, you know, tough luck, like they're allowed to use this data because they're not necessarily reproducing it. Now, the judge might say, hey, you need to go through more extraordinary measures to make sure that you're not duplicating, paywalled material through whatever your software system is doing. But explaining all this to a judge, explaining all this to a jury, getting it to stick, like, this is a monumental, this is a mammoth task. Now, taking a big step back, because I don't want to just talk about the lawsuit on the face of it. I don't want to say, like, if this succeeds, then, you know, we're all going to lose GPT and, you know, OpenAI is going to get shit. Like, that's probably not going to happen. But this is very typical for when you have disruptive transformative technologies. So this is called creative destruction as one way of looking at it. There's a whole litany of terms that could apply to this trend. And so when you have a disruptive technology, you usually have the establishment, the status quo, trying to reassert itself. There were all kinds of interesting lawsuits against automobiles when they were new, trying to say, oh, well, you have to limit them to go slower than horses. And of course, like, that didn't stick around. And there are all kinds of dumb things, because not just the legal establishment, but the business establishment, and also, by and large, people in general kind of have a really strong preference for the status quo. It is a well-known cognitive bias that even when things come and disrupt your worldview, it's difficult to integrate them. It takes time. Why? Because like a neural network, like ChatGPT, your brain has a lot of training data, and when you're confronted with entirely novel circumstances that you don't know what signals to pay attention to, it's uncomfortable. It causes cognitive dissonance. It causes fear, uncertainty, doubt, you know, the FUD signal. It causes anxiety and that sort of stuff. Just like the pandemic that we all lived through. That was a novel situation that none of us alive today had lived through. Why? Because the last time we had a global pandemic at that scale was the 1918 Spanish flu. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone who lived through that. They would have to be 125, and even then they would have been an infant. So long story short, I don't think this is going to go anywhere. Now, what I will say, though, is that open source data sets would probably cover this. And so there's been, you know, if you watch Yannick Kilcher, he had a really great video recently about how there's been a lot of like criticism hit pieces put on open source data sets, because the Leon data set had, like, I'm not going to go into details. You should watch his video. He does a good deep dive into it. But anyways, I do think that this does advance the conversation and shows that, hey, maybe when you have all these gigantic for-profit businesses that are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on data sets and models, maybe there is something to be said for creating open source data sets. Maybe there is something to be said for creating open source models. And that's not to say that an open source data set or model couldn't get sued. But if you do things transparently, you're less likely to get sued, because then you're like, hey, if this violates a policy, like, just remove it. But then you also have an entirely different ethos in contributing to these open source models and data sets. So whenever I hear people say, oh, closed source is clearly the only way forward, it is the safest way forward, like, I don't know, my personal feeling is kind of shifting towards people that just weaponize the safety narrative at all times. Like, what are they selling? Like, what is their hidden agenda? What is their ulterior motive for just constantly saying closed source is safe, closed source is safe? That's not necessarily true. And it's also not necessarily it's just not true, but also it kind of makes me wonder. Now, that's not to say that there are, like, I'm sure there are lots of people out there who honestly, genuinely, fully believe that closed source is the correct way forward, that it is the safest way forward. And then, of course, there's the business end, which is if you own the source code, if you, if you lock it behind an API, you know, a paid per access API, great. But then, of course, like, we're at the end of the year and everyone has been talking about NVIDIA. NVIDIA is the big winner because they're selling the chips that run everything. Google, of course, has their TPUs and other stuff. Anyways, I'm kind of rambling. You get the idea that, like, I think that there's much ado about nothing here. I think that we're going to end up seeing kind of it just kind of fizzle and die like we've seen these other lawsuits. There might be a few criteria or characteristics of this of these lawsuits that stick. It might force the Microsoft and OpenAI to be a little bit more transparent with their data or with where they're getting the information from. Because again, it would be really embarrassing if this information wasn't even coming from the model, if it was just basically RAG, if it was retrieval augmented generation, where the search engine found the article somewhere and then regurgitated it. Then it's like, okay, well, it's not our fault if your paywall is broken. Maybe it is their fault. I don't know. I don't know where the onus of responsibility is for saying, hey, am I allowed to reproduce this if I just found it on the internet? Again, by and large, in the past, if something is freely available on the internet, it's like, it's kind of fair game. Whether or not it is, copyright is complicated, because as I was saying that, my mind's like, no, that's not true. Because even if you write a novel and you publish it like publicly on the internet, unless you say this is a public domain, your copyright still applies. So yeah, we'll see. It has yet to be litigated. And I and many other people are saying, hey, we want to see this go up to the Supreme Court. It might still be too new, because often it can take these new kind of industries and new technologies, it can take them decades to get to the Supreme Court to be litigated. We'll see. And of course, as soon as I see it go to the Supreme Court, I will let you know. But yeah, so thanks for watching. I hope you got a lot out of this. Let me know what you think.